join our hearts together for worship. Good morning, everyone. I am reminded of the motto of the letter carriers of our fair country, What is it? Neither rain nor sleet nor snow nor hail shall stay these, worshipers. Well, it's good morning again, and it's nice to be here with you all. I wanted to draw your attention to a few of the announcements in the bulletin, one of which, let me just say, Monday at 7 p.m. will be the Long Range Planning Committee, not 7 a.m. I would not be worth much of anything at that hour of the morning, as my wife can attest to. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that department. But so that will be at 7 p.m. And also, just right after worship, we're going to have church conference with regards to just one item. It shouldn't take us too long to discuss that. But please, if you're a member of the church and would like to have your opinion counted, please stay after the service. Come down up front for a brief moment as we do a little bit of church business following the service. And there'll be more to come on our Super Bowl Sunday, S-O-U-P-E-R. Not a misspelling. It's an offering for the hungry in our community and beyond. But Merritt will say more about that during our bread tin collection. And also, please note, next Sunday, the 10th, at 2 p.m. in Brown Chapel, we're going to have a little Valentine's party for the kids. And the kids, you know, we're using that definition very strictly, so just because you want to have a fun Valentine's party and make Valentine's for the shut-ins, please, it's for the kids. So anyway, 2 p.m. next Sunday at Brown Chapel for that. Are there other announcements? Well, if not, I invite you to stand as we join together in hymn number 110, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Let's stand as we offer our praise.
Thank you.
invite you to remain standing for the recitation of the Apostles' Creed, number 881 in the back of our hymnals. Where the Spirit of God is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and stood at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Please be seated, and I invite our children to join me down at the front for our children's time. Thank you.
I'm sorry that Sally Ann is ill today and couldn't make this announcement herself, because the Super Bowl means a lot to her. It was invented by a faculty member, I think, at the Presbyterian School of Christian Education, where she attended. But most of you know what this is. The S-O-U-P-E-R Bowl is a collection we take every year on the same day as the S-U-P-E-R Bowl. And I think the idea that started it was the discovery that this is the day on which Americans eat more food than on any other, the Super Bowl. And, you know, most of it is probably not very good for us, but we do tend to stuff ourselves. The people who invented this thought it would be a good day on which for us to collect money, which will go to the Manna Food Bank for people who don't have an endless supply of chicken wings, nachos, and other things that we are all going to be eating later on today. And the way we do this is that three of our youth will take the bucket, the soup containers, the sort that Curtis has just been beating on, and there'll be one here and one here and one in the back. And I think we should make a game of this, and that is, if you think that you want San Francisco to win, this is the West Coast, put your money in that one. If you want Baltimore to win, you can come up and put your money in this one. And if you don't much care, that'll be New Orleans back there, and you can put your money in that one. And then we'll count it up and get the news to the National Football League in time for the kickoff, and we'll see if we can affect the outcome of the game. So please give generously. There are not many of us here today. Please give generously to the Super Bowl. Thank you.
And let us join our voices together in our prayer for illumination as printed in the bulletin. Let us pray. God of love, you send the gospel to the ends of the earth and your messengers to every nation. Send your Holy Spirit on us now to transform us by the good news of everlasting life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear now the good news from St. Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I went to his house for a visit one sunny summer afternoon, but I never expected what I saw there. As I got to the door, I heard someone yelling from the basement, said, "Preacher, I'm down here. Come on down." And as I descended those steps into this gentleman's basement, I saw something that I will never forget. There in this whole downstairs portion of this guy's house were these amazing wood carvings. The one that caught my attention the most was of a bald eagle that had a rainbow trout in its talons, and its wings were spread eagle, as the saying goes. And the thing must have been at least 4 or 5 feet across with the wingspan. And I was just amazed at the detail and the intricacies of it all. And at first I thought the birds and the animals that he had carved there were stuffed or something. I was like, oh no, what have I stumbled upon someone who does taxidermy or something like that? I was like, gee, what am I in for? But they were carved, and the detail on those things were almost otherworldly. They weren't the sort of things my wife or most interior decorators, for that matter, would want to feature, like, you know, as a showpiece in their homes. But just the detail of these carvings were just otherworldly. I asked him how he learned to carve so intricately and such large things, and I figured he must have a vast array of tools and chisels and gouges and grinders and things of that nature. All very important, right, Rick, whenever it comes to doing any sort of woodworking. We always need tools. And I asked this guy, just what his secret was, and he showed me this one meager, short little knife. He said, "That's the only tool I have, is just this one little knife. I'm sure to keep it nice and sharp." And I said, "Well, how did you learn to do all this? Like, what sort of thing do you go by as a rule of thumb for all this?" He said, "Well, like with this eagle over here, it was a block of wood, and I just cut away everything that didn't look like an eagle." You know, he had such a so he. It amused him to no end to just, you know, joke with me like that. But he's true. You know, what he said was very true, in that he just cut away everything that didn't look just like an eagle. It was almost even eloquent when I think about it, how he was able to reduce to something so simple this grand explanation of how it is that he arrived at that craft. In our scripture lesson this morning, St. Paul does something of the same thing. Instead of wood, though, Paul's working with words. Instead of speaking of wood carving, he writes of love and of the Christian life. And in these few short verses, wielding the knife of God's love, he cuts away everything that doesn't look like love. He got such a wonderful thing here. He says, "Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love's not irritable or resentful. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing." Paul's words in this chapter this morning come across to us so often through the lenses of the numerous weddings where we've heard this read, through Hallmark and all those wonderful cards. But to the church he's writing to in Corinth, he's slicing them deeply. He's taking the knife that is his tongue, and he is slicing this church up. Because if you read the context of this letter, if you go back to the 12th chapter that we had last week that I preached on, if you go back to further on in Paul's letter to the church there in Corinth, he is not pulling any sorts of punches when it comes to that congregation. It was a congregation that was deeply divided, and a congregation where parishioners were set against other parishioners, to put it in our terms. And in defining what love is, he's also telling them what they are not. Again, using the toolbox of rhetoric, something that I love rhetoric. I wish it got taught in our schools still. But Paul uses this thing as a way of showing them what love is, so that they would see what they are not and where they're lacking. He's lifting up what love is as this wonderful example, and then he's talking about what love isn't. And if you go back in that letter, he goes verse by verse almost and says, here is what your actions are like, but here is what love is. One way of reading this is, in defining what love is, he defines what the Corinthian church is not. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude, but the Corinthian church is. Love does not insist on its own way, but the Corinthian church does. Love is not irritable or resentful, but the Corinthian church is. You get the point. Paul reminds the church in Corinth, and the church everywhere for that matter, of two central points that I hope we don't leave today without hearing anew. Number one, and I think this is really the first and foremost point that Paul's trying to make here, it's that love is not just one value, one virtue, one gift, one wonderful thing in a list of all other sorts of wonderful thing. It's not just a higher and better gift. It's the one gift without which all the others don't even matter. And number two, it's that love is an action, that love is a verb, not just a noun. Love is a way of life, not just a feeling or an attitude. Feelings come and feelings go. Feelings are temporary, but love does not. Love is just as much an action, a verb, as it is a noun. I can't go into all the exquisite details of Paul's speech here this morning, but I do want to lift up just one thing for your consideration. In the very first verse, he says, "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." If you read the original Greek, it's "I'm a pot being banged on by a giant spoon." No, I think not. But Corinth was known for its production of bronze vessels. They were used particularly in the theater as a type of ancient microphone that would help to reverberate the actors' voices and amplify them some. But the city of Corinth was also famous for its production of bronze cymbals that were associated with the worship of the cult of Cybele. Richard Hayes, the dean of the Divinity School at Duke, he paraphrases this verse as such because it's one that the Corinthians would have understood in a new and very important way different than ours. He paraphrases this verse this way. He says, "Even if you can speak with the heavenly language of angels but have no love, your high-toned speech has become like the empty echo of an actor's speech or the noise of frenzied pagan worship." Another interesting thing about this, cymbals, you never go to hear a cymbal solo, do you? I've always felt bad for the person that played the cymbals in our band whenever I was growing up. You know, I mean, he might get one good ringing of those cymbals in, and you can't play just one, can you? You have to have two. You can't just do it by yourself, these cymbals. In the Greek here, Paul uses cymbal in the singular. It never occurs in the singular, but Paul is making a point here about how we need each other in community and how without love, we're all pretty worthless, kind of like a cymbal solo. If we're not loving in all that we say and all that we do, we're nothing. It doesn't matter how intelligent we are. It doesn't matter any of that if we do not blend our heart with our heads. It does not matter how gifted we are musically if we don't blend our heart with our harps. It doesn't matter how perfectly we follow the law of the land and the law of the church if we don't do it with love. Love is not just the best virtue among all the virtues. It's the virtue without which everything else means nothing. My former parishioner, the wood carver, he never carved images of people, only animals and objects. And I never got to ask him why. I'm sure he had some witty little thing as to why he didn't do that. But I never got to ask him why he didn't carve people. But if I ever see him again, I think I'll offer him some advice on how to carve a Christian at least. All he would need to do is cut away everything that doesn't look like love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Draw your attention to our prayer list. and the names and people and situations listed there, and draw your special attention this day to one name to add on that. If you would add Lanny Warren, who is David's brother down in Statesville. Lanny is in really terrible shape. He had been intubated this week. He has congestive heart failure and all sorts of other issues going on. And so David has really been taken up with family matters down there. And please keep David and Lanny and his whole family in your thoughts and prayers this day. Also, if you would remember Aggie and Donnie this day. Aggie's sister Lucille passed away this week. She had been in bad shape as well, but unfortunately passed away this week. So if you would remember Aggie at this time as well, and the death of her sister Lucille. One other addition, Amy Buchanan, who has pneumonia, Michael Hennett, and Kevin Carter, and also Bill Carlisle, who is in the Heart Tower at Mission. Gordon Jones is also in Mission. He seems to be doing a little better, but he's been in a lot of pain, and I think he was supposed to go home today. So remember Gordon and Joan also, and certainly we remember all of those who are unable to be with us today. Any others to add? And as we mentioned last week, Betty Jarvis passed away, and David will be doing her memorial service this afternoon. Karen and Ben, and our congrats to them. Well, let us go to the Lord in prayer. God of love, we give you thanks for your love for us, which never ends, which endures everything, which is perfect. But, O Lord, we are reminded each day and hour that we are not perfect and that we are in so much need of your love. Keep true in us, O Lord, the desire, the will, and the capacity to live as students and as messengers of your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those who grieve, for those who face dire medical situations, for their families and loved ones, for their doctors and nurses who seek to bring them to fuller health or to nurse them through those times in their journey on to you, we lift them up to you, O Lord. Not only those names that we've spoken aloud, but also those that remain unspoken. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we remember the example of your Son, love in flesh, love incarnate. He came and showed us the way to love and the ways of love, and yet was rejected. O Lord, keep us from any way of operating and thinking and acting that does not have love as its guiding principle. Help us, O Lord, in our weakness. Help us, O Lord, in our shortcomings. Forgive us our sins. and help us to forgive others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Now, O God, hear us as we lift up to you the deepest groanings of our spirits in silence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. And now from all that God has so richly blessed us with, let us offer our gifts to him as we receive our offering. Let us pray. God of love, all good and wonderful things come from you. Take these, our gifts, and use them and transform them, both the gift and the giver, for your service. For we offer them in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. And I invite you to turn to page 15 in our hymn books to join along in the words in bold of the Great Thanksgiving. Page 15. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church and delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which our Lord gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took a cup. He gave thanks to you, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood, the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, we are bold to pray as our Lord taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen." The bread which we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ our Lord? And the cup over which we give thanks, is it not a sharing in his blood?
sacrament of Holy Communion is open to all who wish to receive in the Methodist Church. We have what's known as an open table. If you feel Christ calling you, you are always welcome at our table. Come, let us keep the feast of Christ our Lord. So may we, as we leave this table, offer ourselves for others in that same love that you so clearly showed us. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you've given yourself to us. Grant that as we leave this place that we might go in the strength and in the love of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Gracious Lord, for your love which never ends, we give you all thanks and praise. Lord, may we give ourselves for others in that same love, that your kingdom might come a little closer, that your love might be made real, even through our own hands. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you all thanks and praise for these gifts, but also for the gift of your love. Lord, take our meager examples of love and instill them with your Spirit, that we might go forth from this place in the spirit of love and truth, offering ourselves for others. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Thought we had a player organ today. And if I may, let me interject here. I think we should just sing the first and last verse of our final hymn. If it's appropriate, with the, okay. Well,
that's all we know.
Well, I invite you to stand. As we turn in our hymn books to number 468, we'll sing both verses of the hymn. Now may the light of Christ be your guide as we leave this place, and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may it rest upon us all, now and forevermore. Amen.